Scripture reading this evening is found in the first book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18. First and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Kings 18, we'll begin reading at verse 17. And read through the end of the chapter. First Kings 18, verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now. Look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say to Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Let's read the text, and then we'll ask a blessing on the sermon. The text is found in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, 17 and 18, but I'll also treat the last phrase in verse 16. So James 5, verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let's ask God's blessing upon His word. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We pray that as we hear that word, we would learn more about what it is to call upon Thee. Give to us greater confidence to pray unto Thee, knowing that Thou wilt hear and answer us for Christ's sake. We ask these things in His name. Amen. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, prayer day is a day in which traditionally we call upon God to ask His blessing on the coming growing season. And we ought to pray for those things. We ought to pray that God would send the rain and the sunshine. It is right and proper to call upon Him for that. It's good and right to ask God to give to us health and strength that we may perform the duties of our station and calling. But if we only ask for the goods of this world, we are falling far short in our prayer life. If we only ask for God to supply that which we need to eat and to drink and that which we wear, then we are forgetting the kingdom of heaven. The text in James, beloved, teaches us that we ought to pray for much more than just those physical things, much more than rain and crops and creaturely needs. We ought to pray for that which is truly good, that is, for our spiritual good, those things that pertain to the kingdom of heaven. And Elijah gives us an example of that. He gives us an example of a proper prayer. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain. He prayed earnestly that it would rain again, and it did rain. The text teaches us that God is a God who answers the prayers of His people. But I want us to notice especially the spiritual focus of Elijah's prayers. And we'll see that, Lord willing, as we go through the text. Let's treat those verses in James under the theme, the earnest prayers of God's people. Let's note in the first place that those prayers reach God. That is to say, He hears and He answers those prayers. Then in the second place, those prayers that reach God are the prayers that seek that which is truly good. And then lastly, let's note the trusting in God's grace when we offer those prayers to God. When we pray to God, we do so trusting in His grace. The earnest prayers of God's people, reaching God, seeking good, and trusting grace. Beloved, the text assures us that God is a God who hears and answers prayer, even though we are weak creatures of the dust, even though we ourselves might fear and doubt, even though we might despair at times, even though we are sinners, God hears and answers our prayers. And when I say that, I don't mean that God hears and gives to us exactly what we ask for. He doesn't always answer us with that which we have asked for, but He does hear our prayers, and He does answer those prayers with good for His people. Elijah is an example of that. And the text points to that, the fact that God hears and answers prayer. It's striking when it speaks of Elijah's example. Verse 17 of James 5, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a creature of the dust. He was also a sinner. He was subject to all kinds of difficulties, and he himself had his own trials to deal with. But God heard and answered his prayers. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. God answered Elijah's prayers, even though he was a man of like passions as we are. Maybe we fall into that sometimes when we read of the saints in Scripture. We read of a prophet like Elijah, and we think of them unrealistically. But in fact, and Scripture declares it, Elijah was like you are and like I am. So that when the widow of Zarephath, when her son died, Elijah questioned why God would do that, to take her son away. Or when Jezebel threatened Elijah's life, he fled in fear. As bold as Elijah had been in the past, it's striking how he fled away from Jezebel. And when he was ignorant of the fact that there were other children of God in Israel, he thought he was the very last child of God. He thought he was the only prophet left in all of Israel. And he became so discouraged. That happens too to God's people. He became so discouraged, he prayed that God would even take his life. That's striking. Elijah was a man of like passions as you and I. But God still heard and answered his prayers. He prayed that it might not rain, and it did not rain. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And now we ought to understand about prayer that Elijah's prayer did not change God. The prayers of this weak creature of the dust, it wasn't as if God had no plan regarding the withholding of rain. And now along comes Elijah and makes this prayer. Elijah sets his case in front of God, and now he convinces God to change his mind. Not at all. That's not the way it works, beloved. Elijah's prayer did not change God in the least. Nor was it the case when God had no plan regarding the sending of rain again 3.5 years later. So that now again Elijah comes into God's presence and convinces God to change. No, God is unchangeable in his counsel. And if it were the case that God could change his mind, that God could change in any way, there would be no reason to pray to him, because he wouldn't be God anymore then. It is true that God withheld rain from the land of Israel after Elijah had prayed. And it's true that God sent rain again after Elijah prayed for rain. And we could find many other examples of Scripture in Scripture where God answers the prayers of His people. But prayer, beloved, does not change God. And it does not change His eternal counsel and providence. From our limited earthly perspective, it might appear to us that God's purposes have changed, but God never changes. Rather, this: God is pleased to carry out His eternal, unchangeable purposes in the way of our asking. When God has purposed something, He also works it in us so that we would ask for that very thing, and then He supplies that thing. God never changes. God is pleased to provide for us in the way of our asking. He wants us to ask for those things that we stand in need of. And that's what we mean when we say that God hears and answers prayer. It's not saying that now God changes and now God reacts to our prayers and decides to change His counsel, but that God provides for us in the way of our asking. He hears and He answers our prayers. And that's the point of the text in James. Even though you and I are creatures of the dust, even though we are sinners, like Elijah was, God still hears and answers the prayers of His people. And then the question becomes, why does God answer? And the text makes it clear that God does not answer us for anything in ourselves. God does not answer our prayers because somehow we have made ourselves more worthy of an answer. God doesn't think to Himself as He looks down upon the earth from heaven, oh, there's a mother who has prayed for her child so many times, and because she has prayed so many times, now I will answer her prayers. That's not the way God works. He doesn't look at a man and say, I will answer the prayers of that man because of all his good works. That man deserves my answer because he is so sincere in his prayer. Beloved, the truth is, if God's answer to our prayers depended upon our worthiness, our prayers would never get past the ceiling. Thankfully, God's answer to our prayers is not at all dependent on our worthiness. And that's what the text is declaring when it puts us in the same category with Elijah. Sometimes when we read Scripture, we think to ourselves, oh, I could never pray like Elijah. Again, he was a man of like passions as we are. The same weaknesses and the same temptations that you and I face. Why then does God hear and answer your prayers and my prayers? Clearly not for anything that is found in weak creatures of the dust. It must be, and it can only be, for Christ's sake. And that's why, beloved, James expresses this truth: the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's the prayer of a righteous man that avails. Elijah was a righteous man. That is to say, Elijah had that perfect righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, imputed to him. He was righteous with that righteousness of Jesus Christ. And his prayer for rain availed, not because of anything in Elijah, but for Christ's sake. Because he was righteous in Jesus Christ. And that fits. That fits with the account of Elijah. Elijah, when he prayed for rain only after God had accepted that sacrifice, the sacrifice of that bullock that pointed to Christ. Elijah first repairs the altar. He takes 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel, who was a prince with God, Israel, who was the object of God's favor. He repairs the altar of the Lord. He sets the wood on the altar, puts the bullock in pieces upon the altar, and then has the people pour out 12 barrels of water upon the wood and upon the offering and in the trench around it. And as Elijah prayed, God sent fire from heaven and consumed the burnt sacrifice and consumed the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. You see what God was showing by the sending forth of fire? God accepted that sacrifice. The fire showed not only then that God had accepted that sacrifice that pointed forward to Christ, but it showed that Elijah was indeed God's righteous servant. And then after the sacrifice is when Elijah prayed for rain, and God answered. And there's more as well. The people, when they saw the fire descend from heaven, they repented. They said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." God sent the rain after the sacrifice. We learn, beloved, from that God hears and answers our prayers not because we are good in ourselves. He hears and answers our prayers for Christ's sake. Have you not found it at times, beloved, when you pray to God, you know your own unworthiness? But we don't pray on the basis of our own worthiness. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray on the basis of His worthiness. That's why we close our prayers that way. In Jesus' name. What a comfort that God hearing and answering our prayers. Is on the basis of Jesus Christ and not our own worthiness. And I realize this overlaps a little bit and gets into that area of all of grace. But that's the point. It's all of grace. God hears us for Christ's sake. And not only does God's favor open His ears to our prayers, so that He hears us for Christ's sake, God's favor towards us also causes Him to work in us by His Spirit. And it's the working of that Spirit in our hearts, as that Spirit works in us, that our prayers become fervent and effectual. There is no fervent and effectual prayer apart from the energizing work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's the idea of the text when it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's that prayer that the Spirit works that avails much. Now, that same thought is captured in different language in the Epistle to the Romans, Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26, we read, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit works in us to make our prayers, fervent and effectual prayers. And when the Spirit works in us, we don't know what we ought to pray for, the Apostle Paul said in that verse we read in Romans. But the Spirit works in us so that we will seek that which is good. We will seek for that which is our spiritual good. Not the pleasures and treasures that this world promises. The world says those things will give us happiness, not those things, but the spiritual good, especially. For one, the Spirit teaches us to pray for those things that God has revealed He will give us. What He has already shown to us, He has willed to give us, pray for those things. And in fact, that's what we see in the example of Elijah. He prayed for those things that he knew it was God's will to do. Before he prayed that God withhold the rain It's at least likely that he knew the scriptures and what God had said to Israel in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, we read, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice," speaking to the Israelites, "if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And then verse 23, he says, "And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron." And then it talks about the withholding of rain. Elijah could very well have known that scripture and known on the basis of that scripture that it was God's will to withhold the rain, or God showed Elijah by direct revelation. He made it absolutely clear to Elijah that he would withhold the rain. And then Elijah prayed. He prayed that God would withhold the rain, and God withheld the rain for 3.5 years. And so too, when it came time again to send the rain, God made it clear to Elijah that he would send the rain. And that's evident from 1 Kings 18, verse 1. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Now, Elijah could have said, "God said he was going to send rain upon the earth. Why do I have to pray for it? He's going to send it anyway." But God would have him pray for it too. And so it is, beloved, the earnest prayers that God hears are those in which we seek the things that God has revealed he would already do. God promises to give us sufficient bread for every day. He has promised to care for us. And yet Jesus teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," even though we know it's God's will to supply those things. God has promised to forgive our sins for Christ's sake, and yet God would have us pray, and Jesus teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." God has promised to sanctify us, but Jesus still teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Pray for those things, and when the Spirit works in us, we will pray that way. Those things that God has revealed he will do already in his word. Pray according to his promises. Furthermore, when the Spirit works in us, he will also work in us to pray for that which is our spiritual good. And here you see that in Elijah's prayers. Elijah, when he prayed for rain, did not simply pray for rain because it would make the people comfortable. And one of the most striking things about Elijah is that 3.5 years before he prayed for rain, he prayed that it not rain. What a striking thing as we observe prayer day to think about Elijah praying that it not rain. Why did he pray that it would not rain? Exactly, because Elijah wanted the spiritual good to come to God's people. He wanted God to withhold the rain, not because it would make his own life more comfortable or the lives of other people more comfortable. Elijah wanted God to withhold the rain exactly so that through that chastisement, they would turn back to God. God's people would turn to him and know that he alone is the true and living God. Elijah prayed that it not rain, even though it affected his own life. Not only did it send famine on the other Israelites, he himself experienced that famine. He had to live also in hiding by the brook. But it was for his spiritual good, and it was for the spiritual good of God's people in that land. And when it came time to pray for rain again, even then, Elijah wasn't concerned in the first place only for the crops and only for the comfort of God's people. Listen to the words of his prayer in 1 Kings 18:37. He says, "Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." You see, he wanted the spiritual good of God's people. He wanted the people to know that God was the true and the living God, that they must place their trust in him alone. And that's a good question for us to consider, beloved. How much do you and I desire the spiritual good of our families and the spiritual good of the congregation and the spiritual good of the churches? When we pray for those things God has willed for us to have, when we pray according to God's promises, we will be seeking after spiritual good. But even more, beloved, when the Spirit works in us, those fervent and effectual prayers, we will pray for the glory of God. And you find that also in Elijah. He would never have prayed for the withholding of rain again if all he was concerned about was the people's comfort. He prayed that it might not rain for the glory of God. That's why he wanted the people to know that Jehovah was the living God. Verse 36, "Let it be known that thou art God in Israel." He wanted the people to know that Baal was not God. Baal, the false god Baal, who people said was in charge of the rain, who people said was the God who gave fertility to the land. Elijah wanted them all to know that is a false god. He wanted the people to know that Jehovah is the true God. Baal wasn't the one who withheld the rain, and Baal wasn't the one who sent the rain.
Elijah wanted God to have all the glory. Does that desire, beloved, rule your prayers? May thy name be glorified. That's why Jesus teaches that first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. If that's our great desire, beloved, then we will pray for things that our flesh would never pray for. When we pray, thy will be done, not my will, but thy will be done, God may answer with things that our flesh would never desire. But when we see that those things will bring glory to God, then we will pray that way. When the glory of God rules our prayers, those prayers will avail much. Those are the kinds of prayers that God answers. The same Spirit, beloved, who works in us to make our prayers fervent and effectual is the Spirit who works in us to make us trust in God's grace. When we see our own unworthiness, how we need to see God answers, hears and answers our prayers out of grace. Even though we are creatures of the dust, even though we sin against Him daily, knowing that God hears and answers not because of any merit in ourselves, knowing that the Spirit works in us so that we seek the spiritual good of His people and the glory of His name, knowing that those Spirit-worked prayers avail much, encourages us to pray. Pray. Pray to God, beloved, for all the needs of your bodies and souls. Pray, trusting that He will answer in grace. For Christ's sake, amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy grace, and we thank Thee for the gift of prayer. Grant to us, O Lord, all that we need for our bodies and our souls, and grant these things that we may give glory to Thee alone. Forgive us where we have fallen short, and lead and guide us by Thy Spirit, we pray.